The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Our next item, it's July 12th, and for lots of you that will not register particularly or mean very much, but obviously up north it's a huge day, public holiday. Tens of thousands have been marching in the Orange Order 12th of July parades. This, of course, to commemorate Battle of the Boyne in 1690, where Protestant King William of Orange defeated Catholic King James, and this ensued Protestant ascendancy in Ireland at the time. So it is still very much celebrated, and we're joined by Reverend Mervyn Gibson, Grand Secretary of the Orange Order. Mervyn, you're very welcome to the show. Thanks for the time.
Good afternoon, Joe.
So I presume you've been marching today. It's hopefully been all peaceful, gone smoothly, gone well?
Absolutely. I have been marching in a couple of places today. I've just finished a parade there in Derryachy, just outside Belfast. It's been a wonderful dry occasion, shall we say. No rain whatsoever. Sun shining in parts of the province here in Northern Ireland. But no, it's been a good day, a good family fun day, which it always is.
So in 2024, we still have tens of thousands of people marching. I was reading 600 bands. You have spectators. This is still as vibrant a day as ever in the Orange calendar.
Absolutely. We would say it's one of the largest community festivals in Europe. With 18 venues across Northern Ireland, hundreds of thousands of people out in the street, both spectating and taking part in the parades. And we would say actually it's getting bigger because the Orange Order is growing at this time. We're recruiting more people than we have over a number of years. Our numbers are increasing. Our junior movement is thriving. We're active in all aspects of society. So the Orange Institution across Northern Ireland is healthy at this time.
What do you put numbers increasing down to?
It's interesting. We think probably COVID, if truth be told, in that during COVID, our members rediscovered working for their communities. Maybe the Orange Hall was the only hall in the village, and they handed out food parcels and other items to everybody in the village, regardless of their religion. And we think that community activism, which we've always been involved in, probably fell away during the Troubles because other things took our attention. I think we've become involved in that, and people see the institution as a vibrant part of their local communities.
Mervyn, I've never been up there for the 12th of July. I'm one of those people that it doesn't register with, I have to say. It's just, you know, my upbringing, where I'm from, it wasn't a north-facing household very often. My vague sense of it, or sense from afar, would be that this has always been deeply contentious, that it's been controversial, that the Parades Commission have had to get involved and restrict routes. And obviously there are nationalist communities who feel it's incredibly antagonistic and provocative. And then, you know, even in more recent years of the bonfires, there's the nuisance value, as in fire service get, you know, hundreds of calls across an evening. But also Irish flags routinely burned on these bonfires, effigies, Leo Varadkar, for instance, that, you know, I would look at it and think there's nothing good about any of that. How do you navigate that aspect of the 12th?
It's difficult if someone is exposed to those narrow views and has no other experience of it. But for instance, there was only 37 calls out last night to the Fabriate across Northern Ireland in respect to bonfires.
No, Belfast Telegraph report over 199 calls since 6 o'clock last night. But we won't fall out over detail.
No, but hold on, let me get the facts here. If you're interested in the facts, the fire service said only 37 of those related to bonfires.
Okay, well, 100 calls nonetheless. I say that's more than they get in an average
bonfires,
evening.
You see, this is the issue. You tie up several contentious issues there and then at the door of the institution.
Okay. Well, let's agree on 37. 37 too many, in my view, but go on anyway. But
totally, and my view too, because there should be no call-outs of bonfires. There should be managed someone better, but you're dealing with fires, hundreds of fires, sure, across the province. There's bound to be things happening.
Sure. And I would say, in your defence, actually, the bonfires, there is a traditional aspect to the bonfires. They were lit to guide King William's troops through the area. So like there is a kind of link with history there. It's not just let's have a bonfire for the sake of it. You know, so I'm
the
not...
Guy Fox tradition as well.
Yeah.
November. So no, there is a rich tradition. But there, immediately said Fradgill's image was on a bonfire. Hmm. That's the same Taoiseach who we welcomed in the Orange headquarters and had an engaging conversation with him. Visited the Doyle, had an engaging conversation there. So the point is being made, you know, some people in our community have burned as effigies. with regard to the institutional owners, we continue to talk and reach out to many people within the nationalist community to help them understand better, because there is this one-sided view. And do I say, are we perfect? Of course we're not perfect. Have we done everything perfect over the years? Of course we haven't, but nobody else has either. We're just part of the community like everybody else. Mistakes have been made in the past, but we're always seeking to
How difficult is it to get that message out? You know, you say you try getting into the communities. How difficult is that?
Well, it's difficult as people have this image and this view, and they don't know the facts. For instance, the Minister of Tourism, it's been up 11th night here. I've been with him in Belfast, and the Belfast parade has stopped and given him a gift. And all our ministers have visited here in the 11th night instead of the 12th, and have been welcomed at many parades. Indeed, representatives from your government are welcome at some of our parades here today as guests. So we're always continuing. But you're talking about an organisation which is part of Northern Ireland, which has been part of Ireland for several hundred years, and that included violence against nationalists, that included violence against unionists, and we were in that mix, shall we say.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean we stay in that mix, that we continue to look back, that we continue to want to go drag people back to those days. We want to move forward. We want to make Northern Ireland a better place for everybody, not just for unions, but for nationalists also.
Yeah, well, nobody could disagree with that. In terms of that point I mentioned where a huge swathe of the community would just see it as nakedly provocative and antagonistic, that would extend to even the Roots, of course, and there's a parades commission to deal with the Roots, but also the songs, the Billy Boys, the Famine Song. Did I read that those have been banned as of this year's parade?
No, we don't ban any song, to be honest, because the songs aren't sung, tunes are played.
Okay, because I have a piece here in the London Times saying the Protestant Marching Group has vowed to discipline anyone who sings the Billy Boys or the Famine Song at this year's parades. Not true.
No, it's not true from ARPA. We didn't put anything like that out. So maybe I know it referred to another jurisdiction in Scotland. We didn't put anything like that out. But we will discipline anybody who brings disrepute on the institution. We do that. There's no question about that.
How do you justify the lyrics of some of those songs, I'm wondering, Murph?
I don't justify them. I don't sing them.
Okay, you don't
there's
sing
different
them.
Words to tunes. No, there's different words to different tunes, etc. So you have to be careful about it's easy this campaign to try and continually demonise the institution. I'd invite you up to come visit our headquarters, talk to some of our members. An organisation our side, do we have some bad apples? Of course we do.
Yeah,
it's the same. I would compare it. Maybe your listeners might understand this, but the GAA we would see as a similar organisation to the Orange Institution. We're part of our communities. We're part of the fabric of those communities, and we're very much into charitable work and all the rest. But there's aspects of the GAA that my community finds totally repulsive.
What aspects of the GAA do you find repulsive?
Well, naming trophies after people, IRA terrorists who have murdered Protestants and other people in Northern Ireland. And it's a political organisation. They play the Irish national anthem at the end of their games. They aspire towards United Ireland. But, you know, that's grand. We have no issue with those. But some people, it's trying to help your listeners understand, is there's demonisation of the institution, but there can also be demonisation of the GAA on the same basis.
And how prevalent, I mean, you say a few bad apples. So say of the many, many marches today, how prevalent would, for instance, the Famine Is Over, Billy Boys, would they be? Like, I mean, what percentage of marches would you suspect the Billy Boys or the Famine Song are being sung out, blasted out next to nationalist areas? Would you have a sense of that, Mervyn, or hard to know?
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, people would see maybe the Famine Song is a different song. There's different lyrics, different words to it.
Right.
But you're focusing on two songs there, you know. Those have been played in the past at areas where they shouldn't have been played, and people have been punished for that. Is it prevalent? No.
Hmm.
You're as likely to hear a hymn, you're as likely to hear Lily Bolero going up the street as you are many other songs. But equally, to give you an equivalent to that, is the national teams singing up the Ra. National Irish teams singing up the Ra. People representing their country singing up the Ra. Concerts in Belfast, people singing up the Ra. The Ra murdered thousands of people. 349 members of the Orange Institution, brought one sister, were murdered mainly by Republicans. Yet now we have representatives of the Republic of Ireland singing up the Ra, young people singing up the Ra. Do they understand the hurt that causes the community I'm from? Now, two wrongs don't make a right here.
Sure. How antagonistic is it on the ground these days? Like my youth, obviously, when things were so heightened, was seeing nationalist communities outraged, you know, on the outskirts of the parade, and things were very ugly. Here we are in 2024, in those more contentious routes. What is it like on the ground, Mervyn?
Well, many of them have been, shall we say, settled.
Yeah.
Like in the one raised its head again, because for 6 years, the Orange Institution engaged in talks with local residents under the understanding that they would have a conversation about a return parade. 6 years, that wasn't even on the table. So the members withdrew from those talks. So 6 years is a long time to get to talk about something. So there are one or two areas. Portadown is still a major issue for within the institution, but there's not mass numbers. They've decided to deal with it in a different way. And Portadown parade takes place every Sunday. Every Sunday throughout the year, there's a parade at Portadown, and they walk the police lines and then go home. That's to say the protest is still on. And we would hope one day that we'll be able to talk. We've asked to talk to the residents. They won't refuse to talk to us. The Parades Commission won't ask them to talk to us. It works the other way. So there are one or two that still need ironed out and sorted out.
Okay. Text in, just randomly in front of me. My daughter moved to Northern Ireland this year for education. And from all sides, it's been a very nice experience. Good to see peace coming slowly but surely, which is encouraging anecdotal text to read. Could I ask about just unionism generally, given Brexit, given more United Ireland talk in the last 2-3 years than the previous 40, and this sense that it's inevitable in some shape or form, I'll probably call this an inevitable question. You'll probably call it a total hypothetical, but just we'll engage on that understanding. Say United Ireland was to happen at some stage over the next 10, 15, 20 years, whatever the timeline. Where would that leave you? I mean, is that something where you would say, well, I'm literally leaving the island? Or could you see a healthy way in which unionism could be assimilated into a United Ireland, Mervyn?
Unionism does what it says in the can. It's a unionist party. It doesn't want to be assimilated.
No, I appreciate it. But if democracy, just to go with the hypothetical, if democracy carried through and it was a United Ireland, how could unionism be assimilated, maybe even embraced, part of the island, respected? Because obviously there's no point going back to the bad old days. How would that work for you, Mervyn?
I'm not going to engage in that conversation, shall we say, because I work towards and don't want a United Ireland. I don't see it in the foreseeable future. And I think what you've said there yourself, there's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years of United Ireland around the corner. It's inevitable. That's actually damaging community relations. That's damaging engagement in Northern Ireland. Let's make Northern Ireland work for everybody. And I'm not saying not to give up your aspirations or talking about it. We will take part in any conversation that's open-ended. In other words, it's not saying, oh, there's definitely United Ireland, what's your place on it?
Yeah.
We want to be good neighbours with the Republic and continually strive to do that. But we're not entering into conversations where the outcome is inevitable and they say, what's United Ireland? What sort of United Ireland do you want? We don't want any sort of United Ireland. It'd be like me saying to you, let's have a conversation about coming back onto the crown again, becoming British again, become part of the United Kingdom. It's just laughable.
I think United Ireland is slightly less laughable.
Well, that's up to you. Maybe your sense of humour is not as good as mine.
Maybe not. Listen, we're out of time. Thanks so much for your time and coming on talking about the 12th. All the same, Mervyn. Thank you.
No problem. All the best.
All right. Mervyn Gibson there. He is the Grand Secretary of the Orange Order marching today up north.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.